ओम भद्रं कर्णे भश्रनुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टवागंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितैर्यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. विल बी कन्क्लूडिंग मुण्डकोपनिषद् बिलोंगिंग टू अथर्वण वेद. देयरफॉर आई वांटेड टू रिसाइट दिस अथर्वशीर्ष उपनिषद विद द शांति पाठः. अगेन invoking the grace of Mahaganapati is very important to have clear mind. Because wherever the Ketu is in your horoscope chart, doesn't matter. If you have the grace of Mahaganapati, all anything caused by, ill if it's caused by Ketu will be taken care of. We cannot do anything better than invoking the grace of Mahaganapati in the very beginning, to ward off all forms of obstacles. Anyway, so let us do the last section of the Tritiya Mundakam. Tritiya Mundake Dvitiyaha Khandaha. Let us read once mantras. Savedaitat Paramam Brahma Dhamma यत्र विश्वं निहितं भाति शुभ्रं उपासते पुरुषं ये ह्यकामाः ते शुक्रमेतदतिवर्तन्ति धीराः कामान्यः कामयते मन्यमानः स कामभर्जायते तत्र तत्र पर्याप्तकामस्य कृतात्मनस्तु इहैव सर्वे प्रविलीयन्ति कामाः नायमात्मा प्रवचनेन लभ्यः न मेधया न बहुना श्रुतेन यमेवैष वृणुते तेन लभ्यः तस्यैष आत्मा विवृणुते तनों स्वाम् नायमात्मा बलहीनेन लभ्यः न च प्रमादात् तपसो वाप्यलिङ्गात् एतैरुपायैर्यतते यस्तु विद्वान् तस्यैष आत्मा विशते ब्रह्मधामा संप्राप्यैनं ऋषयो ज्ञानतृप्ताः कृतात्मानो वीतरागाः प्रशान्ताः ते सर्वगं सर्वतः प्राप्य धीराः युक्तात्मानः सर्वमेवाविशन्ति वेदांत विज्ञान सुनिश्चितार्थाः सन्यास योगार्यतय शुद्ध सत्वाः ते ब्रह्म लोकेषु परांत काले परामृता परिमुच्यन्ति सर्वे गताः कला पञ्चदश प्रतिष्ठा देवाश्च सर्वे प्रतिदेवतासु कर्माणि विज्ञानमयश्च आत्मा परे व्यये सर्वे एकी भवन्ति यथा नद्यस्यन्दमाना समुद्रे अस्तं गच्छन्ति नामरूपे विहाय तथा विद्वान् नामरूपान् विमुक्तः परात्परं परं पुरुषमुपैति दिव्यं सयोः वै तत्परमं ब्रह्म वेद ब्रह्मैव भवति नास्या ब्रह्मवित्कुले भवति तरति शोकं तरति पाप्मानं गुहाग्रन्थिभ्यो विमुक्तो मृतो भवति तदेतदृचाभ्युक्तम् क्रियावन्तः श्रोत्रिया ब्रह्मनिष्ठाः स्वयं जुह्वत एकर्षिं श्रद्धयन्तः तेषामेवैतां ब्रह्मविद्यां वदेत शिरोव्रतं विधिवत्यैस्तु चेनं तदेतत्सत्यं ऋषिरङ्गिराः पुरोवाच नैतदचीर्णव्रतोऽधीते नमः परम ऋषिभ्यो नमः परम ऋषिभ्यः. ओके, द 10th वर्स वी हैव टू सी. तद् एतद् तदेतद् ऋचाभ्युक्तम्. द प्रीवियस मंत्रास वी सॉ the glorification of a wise person, glorification of this jnanam, knowledge. Once a person attains jnanam, he lives as a jivan mukta, and even when the parabdha gets exhausted, when he leaves this world, and he attains videha muktihi, because his subtle body will be resolved for good, therefore he will not be assuming a body again, he will not be born again. He becomes free from the knots of ignorance for good. So we have seen this in the previous mantras. Now, the 10th mantra, tad yetad richa abhyuktam. Now, the 10th mantra is actually a Rigveda mantra. Rigveda mantra presented in the Atharvaveda Upanishad. Mundaka Upanishad belonging to Atharvaveda. And in that Mundaka Upanishad of Atharvaveda, Rigveda mantra is quoted by Upanishad itself, quoted by the Rishi himself. What does it say? Yetad richa abhyuktam. Yetad richa abhyuktam. This has been said by the Rigveda mantra. So here, the teacher, the Rishi here, who plays the role of a teacher, he quotes this mantra belonging to Rigveda. And in this Rigveda mantra also, the qualifications required for the attainment of knowledge, the qualifications required for the attainment of the benefit of the knowledge are mentioned. If a person studies the Upanishad, when a person studies the Upanishad, he must be able to grasp the teaching, he must be able to retain the teaching, he must be able to assimilate the teaching, he must be able to enjoy the benefit of assimilating the teaching, for which certain conditions must be fulfilled. And the Rigveda mantra quoted here presents those conditions. Tad etad means what? Tad that, etad, this. Etad implies here the conditions. This implies these. The word etad is singular. This implies these. These means these conditions required for the enjoyment of the benefit of the Vedantic teaching. So this means what? These are the conditions which are given, mentioned here now, and which are very much important for enjoying the benefit of the Vedantic teaching. Richa abhyuktam. So these are the conditions mentioned here by the Rig Mantra in order to enjoy the benefit of the Vedantic teaching. Yetad richa abhyuktam. Richa means by the Rig Mantra or through the Rigveda Mantra. Rik is a nominative word. Richa is a third case form. Richa. And through the Rigveda mantra, by the Rigveda mantra, through the Rigveda mantra, abhyuktam has been mentioned. Through the Rigveda mantra, this has been mentioned that these are the conditions required for the enjoyment of the benefit of the teaching. Okay. What it is said in the mantra, to understand the mantra first. Kriyavanta Shrotriyaha Brahmanishtaha Swayam Juhvata Ekarsham Shraddhayantaha. I said already, Shrotriyaha means definitely the people who want to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge must have profound knowledge of the Shastram. That means they must have purushartha nischayaha. They must know the value of the hadiya of the shastram, and they must be given to the hadiya of the shastram with the shraddha. So shrutyaha. Then kriyavantaha. Kriyavantaha implies in order to study also, they must be qualified mentally. They must be mentally prepared with adequate purification and steadiness, for which they must have been people of activities. People of activities means they must have gone through the discipline of karma yoga. So all those people must have been. So kriyavantaha implies the people who are aspiring for the wisdom, who want to enjoy the benefit of the wisdom, must be people of activities. They must go through the discipline of karma yoga. They mean they must have disciplined life. Thereby, they must have become adequately qualified. They must go through the discipline of jnana yoga. Thereby, they must have got this profound knowledge with the purushartha nischaya, with the total commitment to the pursuit of jnanam shrotriyaha. So, kriyavantaha implies going through the discipline of karma yoga. Shrotriyaha implies going through the discipline of jnana yoga. So, they must go through both the jnana disciplines. Thereby, they must have attained jnanam. It is not enough simply to have attained jnanam. They must have got their doubts resolved, and they must be contemplative upon the truth. Thereby, they must have got the ascertained vision of the truth. Thereby, they remain rooted in the vision of, they mean steadfast in the vision of the truth, obtaining as their own surupam. And such people are known as Brahmanishtaha. The three words. Kriyavantaha, Shrotriyaha, Brahmanishtaha. And such people, before that said, Swayam Ekarshim Juhvata Shraddhayantaha. Swayam Ekarshim Juhvata Shraddhayantaha. Let me make it very clear. Ekarshihi. Please make a note. Ekarshim means Ekarshihi is a name. See, people who study the Atharva Veda, please make a note, people who ever study the Atharva Veda, or Atharva Veda Upanishads, even if a person does not study the whole of Atharva Veda, whoever studies the Atharva Veda Upanishad or Atharva Veda, and they must perform a specific ritual. In order to perform a specific ritual, they must kindle a fire first. And the fire specifically kindled for performing a specific ritual is known as Ekarshi. So Ekarshi is the name of the fire specifically kindled for performing a specific ritual by people who are given to the study of the Atharvana Veda or Atharva Veda. So all those people who study Atharva Veda are supposed to kindle a fire in order to perform a specific ritual. And that fire alone is known as Ekarshi. And there are Panchamaha Yajnas. We all know very well. And one of the Panchamaha Yajnas is worshipping Bhagavan in the form of devatas, the natural phenomena. So in order to offer worship to Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena, they have to offer oblations. So they had to, and worshipping devatas is known as what? Deva yajna. One of the Panchamaha yajnas is Deva yajna. Deva Yajna is nothing but worshipping Bhagavan in the form of natural phenomena, offering oblations in order to express our gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of devatas, who blesses with everything that we need to live our lives. So, it is people of Atharva Veda, or people who study Atharva Veda, are supposed to kindle this specific, because certain mantras have to be recited when they kindle the fire. And that fire alone is known as Ekarshi. So in kindling this fire called Ekarshi, chanting specific mantras. So they have to offer oblations into that fire as their Deva Yajnaha. People of other Vedas also perform Deva Yajna. They also worship. But here, Atharvaveda people specifically are supposed to invoke this Ekarshi. Kindle this Ekarshi, the fire called Ekarshi. And of course, all Vedikas, people who have faith in the study of the Shastram, all of them must be worshipful. Being worshipful is important, a discipline. Therefore, if any Shastra student must begin one's day with worship of Bhagavan only. So, Bhagavad Aradhanaya, Aradhanena, only with worshipping Bhagavan, one must day one's life, begin one's day. Any Shastra student. And here, Atharvaveda students, of course, are also told that they must begin their day with worship of Bhagavan. And for which they have to kindle this fire called Ekarshi. And they have to offer oblations into that fire. Now, the question may arise, what is the purpose of kindling this fire called Ekarshi and offering oblations into them? We must remember, any ritual, any karma prescribed as a discipline in the Shastram, it's not compulsory for all the people. Okay? But whoever wants to do, they can perform. But whichever ritual is prescribed as a discipline in the Shastram, definitely all those disciplines are only for disciplining the mind. Only for preparing one's mind for the attainment of knowledge. Of course, for moksha, what we need is for discovering the freedom which is already there, we need only the discovery of the truth. Knowledge is the only means of attainment of moksha. But to attain jnanam, to prepare one's mind adequately, different types of disciplines are prescribed. So, this kindling of fire, offering oblations, performing Deva Yajnaha to that fire also is one of the disciplines prescribed by the Shastram for people of Atharvaveda. Just compulsory for all, but it is one of the disciplines. It is only for inner emotional maturity. And performance of any ritual definitely will contribute for one's emotional maturity, one's expansion of mind. And second thing, one must have 100% unflinching faith in disciplines prescribed by the Shastra. Okay. Then, the word Brahmanishtaha. See, Brahmanishtaha, we have Brahmanishtaha literally means what? Brahmanishtaha means Saguna Brahmanishtaha and Nirguna Brahmanishtaha. Those who have profound, doubt-free, ascertained vision of the truth, those who have steadfast vision of the truth obtaining as one's own self, are also known as Brahmanishtaha. But here, Brahmanishtaha also means the meditators, people who are given to the discipline of meditation upon Ishvara. So people who are given to the discipline of meditation upon Ishvara means Saguna Brahma Upasaka. People who are given to the discipline of meditating upon Bhagavan with attributes. Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. So, upasanam, so kriyavantaha, then the word Brahmanishtaha implies people who are given to the discipline of meditations. Kriyavantaha, people who go through the discipline of karma yoga. Then, the next word is what I told you. Shrotriyaha, people who are given to the discipline of study of the Shastram, there will be a profound knowledge. And Brahmanishtaha, people who are given to the discipline of Saguna Brahma Upasanam. Please understand, the word Brahmanishtaha has two meanings. One meaning is meditators upon Sagunam Brahma, Saguna Ishwaraha. Another meaning is people who have a steadfast vision of the truth, jnanis. Okay. But here we take it as Saguna Brahma Upasakaha. So Kriyavantaha, Brahmanishtaha, Shrotriyaha. What, first of all, they have Shraddha in the Shastram, study the Shastram. Then they understand these two disciplines, Karma Yoga and Upasanam. Then they follow those disciplines. Thereby, they also perform rituals, especially as Atharva Veda students, they also perform the fire ritual. They offer oblations to Devatas, especially kindling the fire known as Ekarshi. Ekarshim Swayam Juhvata. Ekrishim Swayam Juhvata Shraddhayantaha. Shraddhayantaha means what? With the tremendous unflinching Shraddha, the total faith in what they are doing, they Ekrishim Juhvata. Juhvata means they kindle the fire and perform the ritual. Okay, now you understood Brahmanishtaha also. So, it's all very important. Then what does Upmantra say finally? So, Tesham Yeva Etam Brahma Vidyam Vadeta. Only to such people who have tremendous Shraddha in the disciplines prescribed by the Shastram, Shraddha in the Shastram, and who study the Shastram in the Purushartha Nischaya, knowledge of the Shastram, and who have first of all Shraddha. Shrotriyaha means who have the inclination to study the Shastram also, and who go through the discipline of Karma Yoga and Upasanam. Tesham Yeva, only to such people, Brahma Vidyam Vadeta, may the teacher give, impart Brahma Vidya only to those people. Why? Because then, of course, they will definitely benefit from the teaching. The people who do not live a disciplined life, who do not have Shraddha in the Shastram, who are inclined to study the Shastram, who do not follow the Karma Yoga lifestyle, who do not understand, if people do not have Shrotriyatvam, if they are not Shrotriyas, then they will not know the disciplines of Karma Yoga. What is Karma Yoga for? What is Jnana Yoga for? What is Upasanam for? They will not know the disciplines. They will not know the benefit of disciplines. Then they cannot follow the disciplines. They will not know which discipline should be followed first, which must be followed later. Then how can they attain Jnanam? How can they enjoy the benefit of the Jnanam? Therefore, if people have to enjoy the benefit of Jnanam, may the teacher Vadeta, may the teacher teach, impart Brahma Vidya, Tesham Eva, only to those people who are Shraddhayant, Shraddhavantaha, Shrotriyaha, Kriyavantaha, Brahmanishtaha, and who also, with the tremendous Shraddha, follow the disciplines, such as performing the ritual, kindling the fire, Ekarshi. Okay. Now, okay. The last, we have one more word there. Shirovratam vidhivatyaistu chirnam. Shirovratam vidhivatyaistu chirnam. So, Shirovratam. Okay, Shirovratam means what? I want all of you to understand very clearly. Shirovratam is another ritual. Shirovratam is a ritual which is a special vratam. A ritual, vratam here means the ritual here. Shirovratam is a special ritual, a special vratam, prescribed specially for people who study the Atharva Veda. And the Shirovratam is nothing but is a ritual performed when a person enters into the Brahmacharya Ashrama. As a young student, when a person enters as a young student, when he enters, whoever enters into the Brahmacharya Ashrama, then the Shirovratam is done. This ritual is done. What is Shirovratam? See, there's a ritualistic fire. The ritualistic fire must be kindled in a pot, in a clay pot. There must be a clay pot, and they have kindled the ritualistic fire in that pot. And carrying that ritual, one must carry that fire kindled in a clay pot. So carrying the fire kindled in a ritualistically kindled fire in a clay pot. And how should he keep? And holding the pot on one's head. One must have a clay pot, and fire must be kindled ritualistically. And one must carry that clay pot having the ritualistically kindled fire on his head. Okay? One must carry the pot on the head. And carrying that pot, one must come around a given place. I mean, it may be ashram or wherever the person is taught. It must be an ashram where the teacher lives. So the student as a brahmachari, when he enters into the Brahmachari Ashrama, especially a student of Atharva Veda, must carry a fire in a clay pot, must carry a clay pot having the ritualistically kindled fire on his head, and he must come around the place. He doesn't need to walk for hours and hours. Yes, he must come around for maybe it takes some 10-15 minutes. Come around the place. This is called Shirovratam. So Shirovratam is nothing but carrying a fire in a clay pot, holding it on one head. The fire which has been kindled ritualistically. And this is called what? This is the Vratam, which is the Vratam. One follows, observes, when a person enters into the Brahmacharya Ashrama. And is it compulsory? No, it is not compulsory for people of all the students. It is compulsory for all the students. But people who are given the study of the Atharva Veda, always they are given to this discipline of following this Shirovratam. So if a person comes in the family of a Atharva Veda family, person is Atharva Vedi, then he must follow that Vratam. A Rigvedi need not follow, Samavedi need not follow, but Atharva Vedi is expected to follow this Vratam. Okay, otherwise not for all. And this Upanishad itself is known as Mundaka Upanishad. See, Mundanam means, in fact, shaving also. Munda or Mundaka means head. Mundaka Upanishad. And Munda or Mundakam means head, shiras. And this Upanishad is called Mundaka Upanishad because it the person who is involved in this vratam, the person who Mundaka Upanishad is a Upanishad belonging to Atharvaveda, studied by Atharvavedis, and who are given to this discipline of following is Shirovratam. So Vidhivat Yaihi to Chirnam. Chirnam means Vidhivat. As per the instruction, as per the instructions given by the Shastram, as per the instructions enjoined by the Shastram, Vidhivat means Vidhivat, as instructed or enjoined, as per the instructions enjoined by the Shastram, whoever goes through this discipline, Vidhivat, Chirnam means what? To those people, may the teacher impart this Brahma Vidya to those people by whom this discipline has been gone through. It means whoever has gone through this discipline, Vidhivat, who may the teacher impart this Brahma Vidya to those people, who have gone through this discipline of Shirovratam as instructed by the Shastram. Vidhivatu yaistu chirnam. So yaihi chirnam, by whomever this discipline has been gone through, to those people may the teacher impart Brahma Vidya. This is the instruction given. This is a passive voice sentence, so I wanted to give the correct meaning. Yaihi vidhivat chinam tesham eva Brahma Vidyam vadeta. May the teacher impart this Brahma Vidya to those by whom this discipline of Shirovratam has been gone through as instructed by the Shastram. No, so we need not get frightened. Oh my God, I don't go through all these disciplines. I cannot go through Shirovratam. No, Tristan should not be worried. How can I go through Shirovratam and all that? Don't need to worry. Okay, it is not compulsory for all. At least we must know how much importance Veda Shastram gives. This Shirovratam, etc. All these disciplines are specifically given for Atharva Vedis. Okay. Just to become disciplined. It's not that you must follow all the disciplines, but of course, the general disciplines we must follow. But these are all the specific disciplines we need not go through. But we can understand how much Veda Shastram takes care of the disciplines. I mean, in order to make a person eligible for the attainment of Jnanam. See, what it implies, the important lesson from these mantras we have to understand is, one must be, Pujya Swamiji says this very beautifully, one must be highly ethical in order to become mentally pure. One must be religious in order to become steady mentally. So being meditative means being worshipful, being prayerful. And being worshipful, being prayerful alone is implied by the expression, the performance of rituals. So being worshipful, being prayerful means being religious. So without being ethical, without being religious, it's impossible to be successful as a spiritual person. One must be ethical, one must be religious, one must be spiritual. Very important. Only then one can attain jnanam, one can enjoy the benefit of jnanam. Without being ethical, one may be religious. Without being religious, one may be ethical. And it is not possible for one to be spiritual without being religious and ethical. A spiritual person must be ethical and religious in order to be successful in his pursuit of jnanam, to enjoy the benefit of jnanam. Okay, that is what is emphasized. This is the fact revealed through this. Okay, concluding mantra. Tadetat satyam Rishi Rangirav Purovacha. Tadetat satyam Rishi Rangirav Purovacha. Naitad Achirnavrato Adhi. Naitad Achirnavrato Dhite. Naitad Achirnavrato Dhite. Namav Paramarishibhyo. Namav Paramarishibhyaha. Now, Tad Yetat Satyam. Sometimes the two pronouns are simply used. Tad Yetat Satyam. Two pronouns are used together to emphasize also. Tad, that. Yetad, this. This is a fact. Tad Yetat Satyam. Here the word Satyam means the absolute reality, the ultimate truth, implied by the term Brahman in terms of its nature of limitlessness. Satyam means the truth, the reality. Tad etat satyam. What does it mean? The absolute reality, the ultimate truth has been brought to light. Has been brought to light through the teaching of the Rishi Angiras in the Mundaka Upanishad. Tadetat Satyam. Adishita Bhagatpada's in commentary we understand. Tadetat Satyam means the absolute reality, the ultimate truth. Implied by the term Brahman in terms of its nature of limitlessness has been brought to our understanding, has been revealed, has been brought to our understanding, vision, brought to light by the great sage Angiras in this Atharvaveda Upanishad known as Mundaka Upanishad. Therefore, what is revealed in this Upanishad is the absolute reality. The only essential reality, the only truth, the only essence, the only timeless truth. Ekam Nityam Satyam Brahma. The one Ekam Advitiyam Advaitam Satyam. Ekam Nityam Advitiyam Advaitam Satyam. The one secondless, non-dual, timeless, limitless reality. And this reality is the only cause of Jagat. The only cause of the universe. Even though reality, from the standpoint of the reality, reality is not the cause of the universe. Because whatever is there is only the reality. But from the standpoint of the universe, if you want to know, oh my God, where has this universe come from? Where has time come from? Where has space come from? Where has elements come from? Where have these elements come from? Where has this universe come from? Where have all these living and non-living things come from? If you want to break your head and ask, in fact, they have not come from anywhere. They have been there beginninglessly. They have been there endlessly. But still, because the universe disappears and appears, so we have to say the universe does not have independent existence of its own. Therefore, the source of this universe, that reality because of the presence of which the universe enjoys existence, That without which universe cannot enjoy existence at all. That reality is looked upon as the cause of the universe from the standpoint of the universe. Jagat Karanam Brahma. And that Brahman is one, only truth, one secondless, non-dual, absolute reality, ultimate truth, which alone is shining in the hem of the whole universe, without which the universe cannot exist at all, which is looked upon as the source and the cause of the universe. Okay, this much we need to understand. And it was this Brahman, because the student asked, Kasmin vijnate sarvamidam vijnatam bhavati. What is that one thing by knowing which everything else in the world becomes known as it were? By knowing the cause, the effect becomes known as it were. The effect need not be known because effect has no independent existence. Knowing the cause is as good as knowing the effect. Therefore, when the student asked, the sage Angiras, who played the role of a teacher, imparted the knowledge of this truth to his student. So, Angiraha tadetat satyam rishihi Angiraha pura uvacha. Pura uvacha. Pura means what? Okay. Long ago. So the great sage Angiraha, when you break it, it becomes Angiras. The great sage, the vision sage, the seer of the truth, Angiras, brought to light this absolute reality to his student. Pura Uvacha. Now, Na etad, first sentence is over. Na etad achirnavrataha adhite. Etad, this teaching. Etad means, etad here should be taken as esha. Etad means esha. Esha means this Brahma Vidya. This knowledge of Brahman. Etad means esha. Esha means what? Etad should be taken as esha. Esha should be understood as this knowledge of Brahman, this Brahma Vidya. This Brahma Vidya, etad, achirnavrataha na adhite. Na adhite means does not learn. Adhite means learns. Na adhite means does not learn. The simple present tense verb, adhite, learns. Na adhite does not learn. So, one does not learn this Brahma Vidya. Yetad na adhite. So, literal meaning. But we should take it as an impotential. One should not learn this Brahma Vidya. Who should not learn this Brahma Vidya? Yetad achirnavrataha na adhite. Achirnavrataha literally means chirnavrataha. Please understand, chirnavrataha means the person has gone through the disciplines properly. The person who has gone through the disciplines properly sequentially is called chirnavrataha. Achirnavrataha means the person has not gone through the disciplines properly. Or has not gone through the disciplines. Achirnavrataha etad na adhite. Achirnavrataha etad na adhite. The person who has not gone through the disciplines sequentially, properly, does not learn Brahma Vidya. Does not, means should not be given to the study of the Shastram. Not given to the pursuit of Brahma Vidya. What does it mean? A person may be aspiring for Brahma Vidya. One must become a mukshuhu and jignyasuhu. And of course he is aspiring for Brahma Vidya. But before he enters into the pursuit of Jnanam, so at least simultaneously, one must take care of all the disciplines. One must go through the disciplines in order to take care of his qualifications. Therefore, achirnavrataha. Chirnavrataha is the person who has gone through the disciplines properly. Achirnavrataha, the person has not gone through the disciplines, thereby who has not become qualified, that person does not learn, means should not, it's not proper, appropriate for him to learn the Brahma Vidya. Or to learn the Shastram. Brahma Vidya especially should not pursue Brahma Vidya. Namah Paramarishibhyo, Namah Paramarishibhyo. See, never ever blame the Shastram. Oh, it's all simply bullshit. I don't believe it. It doesn't work. So never blame the Shastram. If you come and study the Shastram without qualifications, at least see that you take care of your disciplines, qualifications. If you don't enjoy the benefit of the teaching, then don't think Shastram has not served its purpose. Shastram cannot help you if you do not take care of your qualifications. Therefore, Upanishad concludes the Upanishad saying, Achirnavrataha na etad adhite. One must first of all have purusharthanascheha. One must become committed to the pursuit of jnanam. Then one must have shraddha in the Shastra teaching. Then one may give up the study of the Shastra. Then one must follow the discipline of karma yoga. One must live a life of dharma. One must be ethical. One must be religious. Then one, as a spiritual person, one must be given to study of the, one must go through shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. Only then one can attain jnanam, enjoy the benefit of jnanam. This is the teaching finally given. Namah Paramarishibhyaha. Namah Paramarishibhyaha. So, Rishibhyaha Namaha. Salutation unto all those sages. Exalted sages. Great sages. Salutation unto all those great seers of the truth. Rishibhyaha Namaha. Paramarishibhyaha Namaha. Paramarishibhyaha Namaha. Salutation unto all those exalted great seers of the truth. Salutation unto all those great seers of the truth. Why? Because see, all those rishis, the rishis means, don't think of people who have some stuff on their head. Our Pujya Swamiji also is rishi for me. Rishi means one who know, one who sees the truth and one who can give the vision of the truth that he has. Pujya Swamiji always says, the teacher is the one who makes the student see what he or she sees. And the seer of the truth, who can communicate, who can also give his vision to the student, is a rishi. So, Paramarishibhyaha Namaha, salutation unto all those Upanishadic rishis. And salutation unto all the teachers who come in the Sampradaya also. Because who have contributed for preserving the timeless flow of Vedic wisdom. Who contributed for preserving the wisdom. And Upanishads, we say, Veda Shastram is a timeless Shastram. Timeless Shastram. Which has been available, which has been being available until this day. And we're all here, of course, is going to be available for even future generation. It must be ever available for future generation, for the entire humanity, always timelessly. The humanity comes and goes, the Shastra must be always available for the humanity. That is why salutations are offered unto the great exalted seers of the truth of Upanishadic period, Upanishadic rishis, and all the teachers in the parampara. And who the first, when you say Paramarishi Bhyahan Namaha, means we offer salutation to Bhagavan Dakshinamurti himself, who is the beginning link of the lineage of teachers, Sadashivaha. And this parampara has Sadashiva as the beginning link. And in between we have Vyasacharya, Shankaracharya, and until then the last teacher, our teacher. So the parampara always has Bhagavan as the beginning link. In between we have other acharyas, the many, many, many acharyas, and well-known Shankara Bhagavatpada and Vyasacharya. Salutation to all of them, because we have Rishi Runam. What we are very much indebted to our rishis, who to their teaching preserved this wisdom for us. And we can pay our debts back to rishis only when we share this knowledge with others. So teaching is also to pay our debts back to our rishis. Okay, we benefit from the teaching and we contribute for the benefit of the world also. When we take something from somebody, if we take some material, if we have some material gains from other person, we return something. But here we cannot give back to anything. The knowledge cannot be given back to the teachers. If we share it with others, that is how we can pay our debts back to our rishis. Rishi runam. See, we have to do Pitru Yajna to pay our debts back to our parents. Pitru runam, Rishi runam. We must know how can we pay our Pitru runam? By offering oblations to Pitrus. By performing Shraddhadi karmas. And we can, by teaching, by sharing our knowledge with others, we also pay our debts back to our rishis. Okay. Therefore, we offer our salutations, prostrations to the lineage of the teachers which has Bhagwan as the beginning link, and all the teachers come in the parampara, who preserved the sampradaya, preserved the wisdom. Namah Paramarishi Bhyo, Namah Paramarishi Bhyaha. Namah Paramarishi Bhyo, Namah Paramarishi Bhyaha. It is said twice to indicate the ending of the Upanishad. Sometimes the words are repeated twice to indicate the conclusion of the Upanishad. With this, Mundaka Upanishad is concluded. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Okay. I will give summary of this Upanishad also. And we were going to redo this Upanishad with the Bhashya. Okay. You know why? Now I'm very different. I want you to all to, the same Upanishad will be repeating with the Bhashya, but will be able to go faster. Okay, now you're familiar with the mantras. Is it clear? Is it clear or not? Now you'll all enjoy it better when I do Bhavidya Bhashyam. Bhashyam means the same thing you'll be learning faster by reading Adishankara Bhagavatpada's commentary. You'll know how to read commentary also. Is it clear? Because it's not appropriate, it's not right to go through the Bhashyam without having gone through the Moola Granthaha. Moola Grantha Patanam. Studying the original text is important first. Then understand the contents. And then of course you have all have got an idea now what is there in the Upanishad. And you might not have made it thorough, but still you all have an idea. Now we'll be going through the same text with the Bhashyam from next class. It's all right. But we'll be faster. Now why? Now you know how to read the mantras. And I'll be reading quickly, and then this is how. Now if I do the Bhashyam immediately, and this, you don't need to work very hard. You'll have thorough understanding of the Upanishad. Is it clear? Once you finish this, then we'll move on to Kathopanishad. Then we'll do Kena. Is it clear? Katha, Kena. And then we'll go sequentially properly. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.